This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Monty operates on a simple principle. Everybody has a story to tell. For the past 5 years, Jeff Polish has been bringing the stories of North Carolinians to area stages. It's a stripped-down affair, just one person, one mic. The story can be funny, it can be sad, but it always is told from the heart. The next season of The Monty kicks off this weekend, the theme, Starting Over. And joining us now to talk about it is Monty creator Jeff Polish. Jeff, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Frank.
Give us an overview of this preview this weekend now.
Well, I'm really excited about this event. Our season openers are always big deals for us, and we have a great lineup. The theme is Starting Over, so all of the stories will have something to do with that theme. And it's up to the storytellers to interpret that theme in the way that they choose. Of course, we work on the stories together, but we have a great lineup. I'm really excited about the stories being told.
You do work with the storytellers, and I wonder how much latitude you give them. I mean, have you ever had to say, no, this is a stretch, this is way beyond the theme?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, you've heard this a ton of times. Everybody's got a story to tell, right? And that is absolutely true, but not everybody knows how to tell that story. And it's up to me to help them to really craft it in a way that's interesting, compelling for an audience that I know better than anyone. So, but there are people who come to me and say, I have this great story. I want to tell it. Let me tell you the story. And it's just not hitting. And so if I can't help them to bring it to a compelling place, then we can't go any further.
How much of that is that it's not a great story? I mean, it's like telling people your dreams. It's just too subjective. It doesn't connect with you or anybody else. How much of it is that the story isn't there? And how much of it is just some of us can't really tell a story, even if you hear it and you know there's something there?
Well, my claim is that I could turn anybody into a great storyteller. That is my claim. I'm not saying that I've accomplished that 100% of the time. But, you know, a story has to have certain elements, and I will not allow anyone to move forward until many of those elements are in place. Like, one of the elements is, you know, why should we care? Is there enough tension and conflict in this story to capture 300 people's attention in the audience? You know, that's important.
Well, let's talk about this past season. How does it – I wonder how you come about, you know, creating the themes. And talk about this last season and what was at stake there.
The last season was amazing. We had great stories. We had great storytellers. And, I mean, the theme conception happens while I'm sitting on, you know, with my laptop on my lap at home at night. If I come up with a theme and I think that there's room for multiple interpretations of that theme, I've come across a really good theme.
And the theme last year?
Well, we had many different shows, let's say fear is an excellent theme. Siblings is also really good because there's a lot of baggage there, right?
Well, let's talk about I want to hear a clip from last season, and maybe you can set it up for us. We're going to hear the story of Carter Kirsch.
Oh, Carter Kirsch, great storyteller. He arrived on the scene a year ago, and he's told amazing stories. Carter was a very scrawny kid growing up in small-town Brevard, North Carolina, and he was taunted and made fun of all the time. And the way that he dealt with that is he tried to deflect that taunting by making fun of other people as well. And the group that he chose and was successful at making fun of are homosexuals, which, as far as he knew, there were no homosexuals living in Brevard, North Carolina. And he was very successful at deflecting all of that. And then he graduated and went to college, and he didn't realize it, but for a while, although we knew it in the story, that his roommate was gay. And when he realized that, it changed him because he became very close friends with his roommate, and that transformed him. It made him reflect on what he had done in his high school years. And this clip that we're about to hear takes place after this transformation while he's abroad in Europe.
I was studying abroad in Italy, and during a break, I was going to go see my best friend Matthew from high school, who I'd fallen out of touch with, but he was there. And my younger brother, who was spending his senior year of high school as a foreign exchange student in Germany, I went to see Matthew first. It had been a long time. We'd fallen out of touch since our daily phone calls. I was telling him about my transformation and my friendship with Will. "That's great to hear, but it's ultimately painful," he said. "See, Carter, you are my best friend and my greatest tormentor." "Wait, are you gay?" I was shocked. Shocked that someone from Brevard had come out. Shocked that my friend had come out. But mostly shocked at the hurt and the pain that I had caused. I had forged my high school career based on making fun of what Matthew was. By the time I got up to Germany to see my younger brother, I had a lot to talk about. As it turns out, he had a lot to tell me. For the third time, I found myself saying, "Wait, are you gay?"
Carter Kirsch telling his story during the past season of The Monty. The new season of The Monty kicks off Friday at 8 o'clock at the Arts Center in Carrboro. Jeff Polish, the creator of The Monty, is here. A lot of things about this story, but the one thing that really stands out to me in that story is how the best stories are bittersweet, and they contain with, I mean, you're feeling the crush of his observation and his self-revelation, and you can laugh all the way through it. And that's really what we're doing. We're always holding it together. It's not pain, 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 pain.
Right. And, I mean, Carter was brilliant in that story of taking a very sensitive and timely topic and getting us to laugh. Mm. I mean, this was a really important story. And these issues are very important. But we could also have fun with it in a way.
Well, it really gets at the center of it when we see these things commingled. But if you segregate them and if you put all the pain on one side and then a laugh at the end, that's not how we experience our stories.
Absolutely.
Turns out. And certainly not the meaning of the story if we can't mingle these things, which is the beauty of this. So had he told the story before?
This story? No. Yeah. He's told two other stories prior and he's brilliant at it. But this story was very sensitive. So it took a lot of work on our part to make sure that he's writing the right line and setting the right tone. Because the opening line of his story is, "I don't know about you guys, but I was really good at making fun of gay people when I was younger." And there's a hush in the audience. Like, what did he just say? That's not funny.
Right.
That's serious. But like, he's riding this line. And ultimately, when we understand where the story's going, we get it. He is a transformed person. And that's what this story is really dealing with.
Brilliant stuff. I want to listen to another one now. Maybe you can set this one up for us as well. This is Brianna.
Ah, Bree. Bree is a wonderful storyteller. This story takes place when she's in college. She falls in love with this boy right at the end of, I think, her sophomore year. And then they separate. He goes off to nature camp. She's more of a city girl. But they come together at one point during the summer to go on a camping trip. She loathes the outdoors. And the question, the thing that's at stake in this story is this relationship going to make it? She doesn't like the woods. They're out in the woods. She's complaining. And this is a story about real love. And here's the adventure along the way.
And eventually I fall into kind of a fitful sleep. And as soon as I fall into a more deep sleep, I am kind of jolted awake by this bright light, and my mind, kind of coming out of sleep, starts running through all of the possible things it could be, which involve like terrifying rednecks and on foot and with flashlights, or terrifying rednecks in a Jeep. And my mind settles on it's probably the Jeep, because there's probably a lot of them and they're probably going to kill us. And so my heart starts beating really fast. And I'm like, what the f*** is that? Why is there a Jeep staring at us? Like, I thought we were in the middle of nowhere. How did it even get here? So I kind of like whisper. His name is Francis. So I kind of whisper to him. I'm like, Francis, I think there's like a Jeep or something pointed at us. And he kind of groggily wakes up from sleep and looks up at the Jeep. And he looks back at me and he goes, "That's the moon."
A clip from the past season of The Monty. New season kicks off Friday night at 8 at the Arts Center in Carrboro. Jeff Polish is with us. You know what's interesting about that is that it's speaking to a deeper truth and how, and then here's another thing that you sort of, you're always casting a light on how the brain works and how we're perceiving these things. So we're all guilty of this, right? Go into the, I got a headache, it must be a brain tumor. Right? You're going to the worst possible scenario and we all go there. And I can do both in my mind. She took me to those times when I have been equally extreme in my analysis and crazy. But I'm listening to her story. I'm riveted. I can do both at the same time.
Well, we can relate to what she's going through here. I mean, she's afraid. She's in love. She's, you know, wants to make the best of a situation, which isn't natural to her. And, you know, we all know what that feels like. You know, we all know, and that's what I want people to explore when they get up on stage and tell a story, is I want them to be vulnerable. I want them to be real. We're all afraid of something. We all care about things, and here it is.
In stories like that, maybe not in Bree's case, but in other cases where people think they've got it all worked out, they come to you and they tell you the story, but you know there are deeper vulnerabilities. What kind of work is that, and how, I mean, do people sort of actively resist?
Most people are willing. I mean, it's very much like therapy, although I'm not licensed in any way whatsoever. But it's like when they tell me their story, I think to myself, or I say to them, that sounds to me like this, which is what I spit back at them is something that they've never thought of. And it is something that is, it's so hard to think of these things when you're in it. It's hard to be objective about your lives. And when they tell me their story, I hear something else, and we have a big discussion about what the interpretation may or may not be. And it's interesting.
The other great thing about your shows is the way you balance all of this. I mean, when we heard the first story, then we heard Bree's. Bree's obviously a little bit more funny. There's a lot more pain and pathos in our first story. And do you work to mix the stories so that there's going to be at the end of the night a kind of balance of heart-wrenching and comic?
It's so important. I need to know the stories in and out before I sequence the night, because we want to feel like a rise and fall. I want the audience to be laughing one moment, crying the next, then laughing again over and over again. And if you sequence things incorrectly, it will affect the entire outcome of the show. So it's very important.
Let's listen to another one. Tell us about Paige Crawford.
Paige Crawford, great story. This is actually one of the very few third-person narratives that we've had at the Monty. She's in it a little bit, but she's not the most active participant. This is about her mother and her mother's siblings and that one sibling that bound them all together. Now, her aunt, Paige's aunt Jamie, was born in 1961, and Jamie's mother had severe morning sickness when she was pregnant with Jamie, and her doctors gave her thalidomide, which they didn't know at the time, but now we know causes severe physical and mental abnormalities. And this clip, the first clip, starts when Jamie's mother gives birth to her.
And when my grandmother was in the hospital having Jamie, she gave birth, she had the baby, and they took her out of the room immediately. You got to remember, this is before sonograms, this is before ultrasounds. You know, they didn't know if they're having a boy or a girl, let alone anything about possible birth defects. And they took her out of the room, and the nurse came back in, and she walked up to my grandmother, and she said, "Mrs. Swinholt, you have just given birth to a monster." And she said, "You're going to need to put her in, it's a baby girl, and you're going to need to put her into an institution right away, and she'll need to live there her whole life because no one could ever take care of a baby like this."
Now that is a horrifying clip, and you can also hear the audience reaction. You have put microphones around him.
Oh, yeah. I want to simulate as best as possible the feel of what it's like to be in the room. We can't totally simulate that, but if we put a microphone in the audience, we can hear them interacting. Hear them responding. I think that's really important. It draws you in.
Well, we're not going to leave the story there. Let's pick up the story.
And so they brought her home, and they put her in the middle of the bed, and all the siblings were allowed to gather around and meet their little sister, you know, and they unwrapped the blanket, and they just kind of let them have free rein because they wanted them to be comfortable and to really get to see their sister. And they were allowed to kind of poke and prod and, you know, pull on her legs and touch things and see how everything worked. And about a minute or two into it, my grandfather looked over at my Uncle Donnie, who was about 8 at the time, and he just suddenly saw this wave of just horror come across my Uncle Donnie's face. And my Uncle Donnie looked down at Jamie, and he looked up at my grandfather, and he's just looking at his two-week little sister here on the bed, and he says, "Well, golly, Dad, she doesn't even have any teeth." And that clearly being the least of two-week-old Jamie's worries, I think my grandparents kind of looked at each other, and it was like, okay, this gives us a little perspective. We can do this. You know, they don't really know any different. This is their sister, and that's how they're going to treat her, and that's how we're going to raise her. And they very much did. And one of their favorite things to do growing up is they would take Jamie when she was still an infant, all her brothers and sisters, and they would wrap her up in a blanket and put her in a basket. And Jamie stayed little for a long time, so they could do this for a while. And they would deposit her on unknowing neighbors' doorsteps. And they would ring the doorbell and then go hide in the bushes and just wait for the reaction.
Wow, a clip from the past season of The Monty, the new season this Friday at the Art Center. Jeff Polish is here. And again, this, I mean, we feel very comfortable. There's just love in this story. We're not laughing at a child
right.
who is enduring this.
This is an amazingly special story. It's a story about family, support, love. I mean, it ends with everybody always visiting Jamie. She's in her 50s right now, and she's the nucleus that binds the entire family together. It is so warm and special. I love this story so much.
All of these sermons and, you know, sort of pontifical talk about how we're all one big family and we fold it all in together, nothing like that story to really bring home many of the sermons you may have heard and slept through in other venues. I want to make sure we get this one on. This is Lori Hensley, a very serious one, and probably the most serious we've heard so far. Let's hear about it.
So, you know, this doesn't actually require much setup because you get it all from this, and we could talk about it on the back end.
All right.
Little Bobby was born in January of 1986, just as I turned 20. Like most 20-year-olds, I was very self-absorbed, and I could only think about how this affected me. And I dealt with having a new little brother by just staying away. I didn't visit my dad and Glenda and little Bobby much when little Bobby was a baby. In fact, the first eventful visit that I can remember was when little Bobby was about 3 years old. I just finished college and I had just met Robert, who I would later go on to marry. And we were at home visiting them, and it was nighttime and we were in the den watching a movie. And a storm came up and knocked the power out. It was probably only out for about 5 minutes, but it seemed like an eternity because little Bobby was afraid of the dark and he was crying uncontrollably and we couldn't get him to stop. Even after the power came back on, we just couldn't soothe him and he just kept crying. My dad had finally got enough of that and he got up and took off his belt and whipped little Bobby because he wouldn't stop crying. Little Bobby went into his room and a few minutes later, he came back with his BB gun and he pointed it at my dad's face and he said, "I'm going to kill you." And I knew in that moment that this child was completely different than my older brother and I were. We were obedient and compliant. We were pleasers. And he was defiant and prideful and hard-headed. And I knew that was not going to serve him well in my dad's house.
There's a clip from last season's Monty. Jeff Polish is here, and it's come a long way in 5 years. I can remember you were here still teaching, hoping that this would take off at the launch of the Monty, and here you are 5 years later, a very successful program. How's it going?
I love it. I mean, it's transformed my life. What I love about it is that people trust this forum enough to tell stories like the one you just heard. I mean, it makes me proud, and I love where it's heading, and I love the success of our podcast, you know, and I'm living the dream, Frank.
All over the Triangle and the Triad. You're up in Greensboro mm-hmm. periodically. Jeff, always a pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Jeff Polish, creator of The Monty, kicks off a new season at the Art Center in Carrboro at 8 o'clock. For more information, you can go to our website, wunc.org. Just ahead, we will take a look at David Drake's new fantasy novel, Monsters of the Earth. Stay tuned.